realizes, my sister is just making herself comfortable there at the feet of Jesus while I'm working, while I'm busy taking care of everything. Who does she think she is? What is she doing? She's indignant. She's upset to the point at which she goes to Jesus and presumes to tell Jesus what he ought to do about it. We've never done that, though. We've never gone to Jesus. We've never gone to God and told him what we think he should be doing. Well, this was one of those moments for Martha. She goes to Jesus, and what does he say? Well, what does she say? Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Tell her then to help me. I'm busy working here. And there she is, kind of all lazy, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Tell her to help me. You know, when I never noticed this until recently, that there's this glimmer of another story about two siblings. In this story about two sisters. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. It's a story of two sons. There's one son, the younger son, who goes to his father and says, "Thank you very much. I'd like my inheritance now. I'm done. I'd like to go and live on my own. I'd like the independent life. I'd like to do what I want to do." It's the story of the prodigal son that you find later on in the Gospel of Luke. He goes off and he spends his whole inheritance on partying and prostitutes and all kinds of things until he's destitute. And he finds himself working in a pigsty. And he's looking at the pig's food and he's thinking, "Wow, I would love to have some of that. It's that bad." And then he finally comes to his senses and he says, "Even in my father's house, as humiliating and humbling as it would be to have to go back to him, I'm going back to my father's house. Maybe he'll receive me as a servant." And he goes back to his father's house and he finds his father running towards him. And you know that most of you are familiar with the story, right? There's a particular character in the story, another brother, an older brother, who sees his father embrace the younger son and put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, and sandals on his feet, and throws a big party and a feast for the younger son. And his older brother is like, "What in the world? I can't believe you're doing this for this ingrate, for this guy that wasted all of your money and the property that you had given him. I've been working for you." Let's take a look at that. Exactly what he says. In Luke 15, he says, "Look, these many years I have served you. I have served you and never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, he has devoured your property with prostitutes, and you kill the fattened calf for him." Isn't there an echo of this kind of spirit in Martha coming to Jesus? "Look at my sister just sitting there at your feet when she should be helping me. She should be serving. She should be working." Sometimes that's the easier thing to do. It's easier to just get busy serving God. And it's not a bad thing. We are called to be servants. We are called to lay down our life for the sake of others. We are called to serve. And yet, God is more interested in us more than anything we can do for him. He wants us more than anything we can do for him. You know, sometimes getting busy and doing and serving is a lot easier than just sitting at his feet, isn't it? And waiting and listening and praying. opening the Bible and trying to get a word, a life-giving word out of it. Sometimes it's easier just to be busy, isn't it? Like Martha, to get busy. And certainly in those times when we're worried and troubled about many things, like she was. And that's what it says. Martha was worried and troubled about many things. I don't know about you, but when I'm worried and troubled about things, I tend to get busy. I want to take my mind off of the things that are worrying and troubling me. I don't want to think about the source of my anxiety, so I get busy. And sometimes I even do really good things like serving Jesus. Even serving Jesus. And in this beautiful passage, Jesus, just like the Father in the story of the prodigal son, handles Martha with incredible grace and kindness to reorient her focus in the right direction. He says to her, "Martha, Martha." Can you hear that? I mean, you can almost hear, "Martha, Martha. You are troubled and worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will never be taken from her. Never. Martha, Martha, you were worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Could it be? Really, that there's only one thing that's necessary? When I think about following Jesus, I think that lots of things are necessary on a regular basis. I feel like sometimes I feel like a weight on my shoulders. Like, I need to be this. I need to do that. I ought to be. Have you ever experienced that? How could you come and say, "Jesus, only one thing is actually necessary"? It's an extraordinary thing that he's saying. Could it be that only one thing is really necessary in our relationship with God? Again, Jesus is trying to bring the focus. He's trying to put things in proper order. What comes first? And then he points to Mary, right? Who found just the right spot. Mary knew where she needed to be. And where was that? It was at the feet of Jesus. It was at the feet of Jesus. That's the one thing that Jesus was talking about, right? And then he says something very interesting. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. That's kind of a strange way to put it, isn't it? Mary has chosen the good portion. Why didn't Jesus just say, "Mary made the right choice"? Mary did the right thing. No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Mary chose the good portion." What in the world could Jesus be saying by using that particular phrase? Well, let me back up for just a second and look at the context of the history that God had with his people Israel. They were a people that moved from place to place to place to place. They were a people on the go, right? Especially Abraham, when God called him out of Ur, he said, "Go, and I'll let you know where," eventually. He moved around, and so did the people of Israel. They were down in Egypt for 400 years, and then God called them out of slavery and bondage, and said, "I'm going to send you into a promised land. I'm going to send you to a home one day that's going to be yours." And so they go through the wilderness, and they have their ups and their downs, and they go from place to place following God, wandering and wondering, when are we going to find our home? I can relate to that. I think I've moved like 15 times since I graduated from college. Moving stinks. Sometimes the outcome is really good, but the process is not fun. And when we moved just recently to Greenville, South Carolina last year, it was like, "Okay, God, I hope we're going to stay here for a while. I just want to settle down. I want to grow some roots somewhere. I want a place to call home. And that was what the Israelites were experiencing in their journey with God. We read about it in Hebrews, right? In Hebrews chapter 11. Where it says this. For the people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. You know, there was this sense in their hearts, that this longing in their hearts to find that one place that they truly belong. That one place that they could call their home. When Israel went into the promised land, finally, right? When God gave them the land, he ordered Joshua to tell the 12 tribes, this portion is for you. This portion is for you. And within each tribe, the people and families would be given a particular portion of land that would be theirs. Can you imagine what that process was like after all of those years and living in bondage in Egypt, to have your own land that belongs to you? This is the place where I'm going to provide for my family. This is the place I'm going to build a home to bless my family for many generations. They were given a portion of land. That's what David is talking about in the psalm that we read earlier this morning. Psalm 16, which apparently is part of your liturgy, right? Let's go there for just a second. Psalm 16, beginning in verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I have a beautiful inheritance. The lines have fallen, the boundary lines of that portion that belongs to me, that really good portion that I had hoped for and wanted, belongs to me now. David says something extraordinary to the people of Israel, to whom land was so very important. He says, the Lord is my portion. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen the good portion. There's something extraordinary here that Jesus is saying. I am the good portion. I am that place that you have been longing for. I am the place you've always desired. I am the place where you find rest and satisfaction and security and peace in provision for you, for your family. I am that place. I am the good portion. I am home. I am the home. It's me. And Mary knew it. When she sat down at the feet of Jesus, she just felt it. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt truly at home in your life? Just a complete peace to be somewhere? You felt like you totally belong there? This is home. That's what Mary felt when she sat at the feet of Jesus. I'm home. And then Jesus says, and it will not be taken from her. This is a home that can't be taken. It's not just a temporary place that you're renting. It is permanent. It is everlasting. The home that we have in Jesus Christ can never be taken from us. And we can visit anytime we want at the feet of Jesus. You know, there's this strange play between a sense of we are home in Jesus and yet we're not quite there yet. You know what I'm talking about, right? That we're like strangers and aliens in a foreign land, that this really isn't our home here. We're a part of a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom that will be our home, but we're just getting little glimpses of it. We're getting a little taste of what home is like. And Jesus says, I am that home. And I'm here with you. I'm available for you anytime. Yes, I want you to serve me. There are times I want you to go out and represent me well in the world. But more important than anything else is I want you. I want you more than anything you can do for me. That's the first order of priority for him. Now, what's the first order of priority for us? The same. To take up our position, to settle down into the home at the feet of Jesus. It seems so simple. It's like, really? Is only one thing really necessary? But everything comes out of that. It comes out of that space and that time that we spend with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ who makes himself known in the presence of his Spirit who lives in us. Who goes with us wherever we are, right? You might be searching for a home, longing for a home, but it's in us already. It's crazy. It's hard to put your head around, and yet it's true. Where are you right now? Are you really busy serving Jesus? That's a great thing. Are you worried and troubled about many things? Are you longing for a place where you feel like you're at home? A place of rest? I mean, Lord, I've been dealing with this thing for so long, and it feels like such a struggle and such a long journey. God, we find our peace, we find our rest, we find every good thing from the hand of the Father of lights at the feet of Jesus. And I know that's what your brother Thad has been preaching and teaching in this church. I just want to echo that, that everything comes out of that, being in that place with him. And just, you know, maybe sometimes you should just use your imagination. You know, just imagine being like Mary. In your mind, imagine just taking your seat at the feet of Jesus. Look up into his face. And what would that be like? And use that as a way to get into that space with him. When you're homesick. Let's pray. Father, this is something that